here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Thursday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program today. My name is still Bob Arthurs, and we have officially reached fall. It is a glorious thing. The temperatures have been much more mild, and I rejoice at the thought of my electric bill going every degree. Now, we've got some people in the church, they're not quite so excited about that. My wife, she's not quite so excited about that, but I'm very excited about it. When you drive with a car with no air conditioning in it, you get very excited about more moderate temperatures in the state of Florida. So we want to thank you for joining E 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship. It is so kind of you to join us. We'd like to invite you out to our services this week. My staff has abandoned me for this weekend. They're actually my worship leader's away for a family event, and my office manager, she and her husband are away for a milestone celebration that is associated with his job, and so they're leaving me to lead worship and preach. And on top of that, we've got a chili cook-off that is going on, a potluck dinner, and some other events that are sure to keep me quite busy throughout the weekend. We've also got a men's breakfast on Saturday, and trying to work all of this configuration in. We had some upgrades done in our fellowship hall, and got rid of some stuff and put some new stuff in its place. And so we're going to be experimenting with a new configuration and see how that works. But we're looking forward to a great time. The chili cook-off, there is a prize that gets awarded. And this is all about having a little bit of fun celebrating people's culinary skills. And so if you'd like to come hear the message and then feast on the food, We'd love to have you this Sunday morning, 10:30. No Sunday night service this week while I recover from a very, very busy week. So thank you for joining us today. We want to take you back to the book of James. We're talking about don't deceive yourselves. And since I was here on yesterday's program, I've heard a couple of statements about lying, and so in a few days we're going to be bringing those up, but I'm telling you that we as a society are far, far away from biblical standards when it comes to you and I shall not lie, we shall not bear false witness against our neighbor. We have people that feel like as long as you achieve the ends that you were striving to achieve, that lying is okay. And today we're going to continue looking at Don't Deceive Yourselves, Don't Be Deceived, the DBD series. And so James chapter 1, verse number 26 says this: if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So, we talk about people and the way that they think about themselves. There are people that think of themselves more highly than they ought. We're cautioned to not do that. There are people who think less of themselves than they ought because God has equipped them. We talked a little bit about that on Sunday night in our worship service, where one of the primary motivations that people have for not telling others about Jesus, not sharing their faith, not sharing their testimony, is that they don't feel equipped. They don't feel as if they're worthy to share that they may not be able to handle all of the objections and things like that. And I want to encourage you that if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a story to tell. You are a manifestation of the grace of God, and somebody needs to hear that. People that you are in relationship with need to hear that. And so I encouraged our church on Sunday night, we need to have relationships, people that we're acquainted with who are not believers. And we need to be looking for the opportunity to share faith with them. And so the other day I found myself in a situation where I was able to pray with someone who readily admits they're not a Christian. And as far as theology goes, we're miles and miles apart. But I was able to pray for them, and I asked if I could. They said yes, and so I did. And so now I'm believing for a miracle in their life, because I would love to see them put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if anyone amongst you thinks he is religious, so this is not someone with faulty thought patterns outside of the church. This is someone with a faulty thought pattern when it comes to their relationship with God. There, it is possible to think of yourself one way and it not be an accurate reflection. You know, there's a saying that says perception is reality. And that is not necessarily the case at all. So there are people who are famous for being famous. There are people who are famous because of some of the things that they've done. There are people that are famous because they are rich. There are some people that are famous because of their last name. There are some people that are famous because of the position that they hold. But the way that we think of ourselves could be missing the mark when it comes to this ultimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we cannot afford to have an inaccurate perception of ourselves. We cannot afford to think of ourselves incorrectly when it comes to our relationship with God. So it says this: if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart. Okay? So I want to tell you that if we are boasting that we have a relationship with God, that we need to be able to control our tongue. We need to be able to rein our mouth in. And boy, is that tough to do. That is so difficult to do, but it is absolutely vitally important for believers. There's a scripture in James that talks about the power of the tongue, that it can start off like a small flame and it can end up doing great damage. And it talks about the rudder of a ship that is controlled by or the rudder, which is very small, that controls a large ship. We've got to be able to have control of our tongue. And no one else can do that for us. We have to be willing to do that ourselves. We've got to have God change our heart so that our mouth will adequately reflect the condition of we got to have God change our heart so that our words represent him well. Let me take you to chapter 3, verse number 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man. He is able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. They are so large, they are driven by fierce winds. They are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even the tongue Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. So James writes and he says, if we're in relationship with God, we cannot have an uncontrolled tongue. And he describes the power of the tongue, that it has tremendous destructive capabilities. It also has the abilities to build up. It has the ability to bless. It has the ability to curse. And so we need to do whatever is necessary to comply with God as he begins to operate our tongue. Okay? I know a lot of people, they are terrified of operating in the gift of the Holy Spirit because they're going to lose control of their tongue, but it doesn't bother them at all to lose control of their own tongue and bring all sorts of devastation and pain and heartache into other people's lives. Such things ought not to be so. So it says that anyone who does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart. And again, there's that connection between the heart and the tongue. If we are deceived in our heart, our tongue is going to be the manifestation of it. So that's why I have always said that my mouth is not a reflection of how other people are treating me. My mouth is a reflection of my relationship with God at that current point in time. And so as I was teaching, you know, out of Isaiah 37 about Isaiah's response to Sennacherib's spokesperson that was coming and blaspheming God, and that word means angry, insult, injury. It just does all sorts of criticizing. And so we need to make sure that our mouth is a godly mouth. One of the things that I have said many times is this: just because something crosses your mind does not mean it is supposed to cross your lips. Think on the things that you are going to say. We live in a social media age where people just fire off all sorts of lovely, non-edifying remarks. They're behind a keyboard. They don't really have anything to lose, so they feel as if they can just say whatever they want. Many times it's just something to be pithy. It's not something that is designed to do anything. I posted something online from a community nature some time back, several weeks ago, and you would not believe some of the remarks that came back. Now, I was putting it out there for information's sake, but what I got was a whole lot of recoil about people who don't know me, really didn't have anything edifying to say about that situation. And so it's like, wow, It is social media is a minefield. It really is. But we can't afford to deceive our own hearts. Okay. Now think about the consequences of what James is writing about here. A person thinks that he is right with God, and yet his mouth is revealing that there is no relationship with God, and therefore his own heart is deceived. I'm here to tell you that today, this message is the mercy of God for some people, because you have deceived yourself into thinking that you're in right relationship with God, and you really need God to come in and change your heart. So I had a conversation with a person probably 8 to 10 years ago. Let's see. Yeah, probably 8 to 10 years ago. And they were talking about this person, and they said, man, I just really, really like this person. They just tell it like it is. They just, you know, they analyze the situation, and they just speak their mind, and they don't really care one way or the other how you're going to respond. They are just blunt. They are to the point. And I just love them, love that about them. And I was like, really? They said, yeah. I said, well, what do you think about this person here? And they said, well, I don't care for them at all. And nobody that I know really cares for them. And what I said to this person was this: the only difference between the first person that you mentioned and the second person you mentioned is their age. Because the other person did the same thing. They would just say whatever crossed their mind. They didn't care whether it edified, they didn't care whether it injured. They just wanted to voice their opinion, and their opinion was right in their own mind. And so therefore they were just going to put it out there. And yet at the same point in time, both of these people were so hypersensitive that you couldn't disagree with them. You couldn't even agree to disagree. You couldn't correct them. They weren't teachable at any level whatsoever. And when I said that to this person, they were like, oh. You see, many times we recognize negative behavior in people that we want to see negative behavior in. We don't necessarily recognize negative behavior in the people that we like, or even in our own selves. James here says we have to bridle the tongue. It says here in verse number 8 of chapter 3, but no man can tame the tongue. So what are we talking about? What are we talking about? That if we do not bridle our tongue, that means, listen, we're responsible for putting the bridle in the mouth, if you will. The word of God, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You know, the spirit, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. We put that bridle in our mouth, but one that controls the reins. We give that control to the Lord. He's the one that says, no, don't say that. He's the one that says, okay, this is what I want you to say. Jesus said, the words that I speak are the words that I hear my Father speaking. So it is very important for us that we control the message that we listen to. Okay? Because Jesus said, what I hear the Father speak, those are the words that I speak. So one of the forms of controlling our tongue is to guard ourselves from ungodly or negative input into our ears, because what comes into our ears will pretty soon come out of our mouth. A lot of people say, oh, I don't listen to the words to a song. Baloney. It might take you a long time before you recognize, discern, and understand the words. But I can tell you this. You can put certain songs on the radio that I haven't heard in 40 years, and you start playing the music, and all of a sudden, the majority, if not all of the words, in the appropriate order with the appropriate melody are going to come back, because those words controlled with the music have impacted my heart, even on a level that I may not be aware of. Okay, I read a news article the other day about a lady who swallowed a piece of jewelry while she was asleep. She actually dreamt that she swallowed the piece of jewelry and woke up and pretty soon realized that she had actually swallowed the piece of jewelry. Did she do that voluntarily? No, she did that subconsciously. She wasn't even aware of what she was doing at that particular point in time. You know, there are voluntary reflexes and involuntary reflexes. There are things that you do that you make a conscious decision to do, and there are other things that you do that you've done so often that you don't even give it any thought. For instance, if you have a routine whenever you take a shower, you know, my routine is different than other people's. When I told them what my routine was, they said, really? Some people shower their hair last. I happen to shower mine first. But at the beginning of my shower, I'm not as awake as I tend to be at the end of the shower. And many times I can think that I've washed my hair and not washed my hair. I can think that I've not washed my hair when I've actually washed my hair. And I think there was one time I even accidentally washed my hair three times. I mean, I just was having a slumbery morning that day. We cannot afford to deceive ourselves when it comes to our relationship with God. He goes on and he says, this is the type of behavior that the Father is looking for when we are not living in a deceived condition. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. On Sunday morning, this last Sunday morning, I preached a message and it was titled, Is There Not a Cause? Is there not a cause? It's a statement that David made to Eliab, his eldest brother, when David went down to watch the battle that was no battle. It was really just a taunting activity that Goliath had against the armies of Israel every morning and every evening for about 40 days. And David happens to come delivering some bread and some cheese, and he happens to be there when Goliath comes out. And David says, is there not a cause? And so I've begun to unpack that message that we have a purpose. God created all 7 billion people on this planet for a divine purpose. We have a missionary that adopted a daughter that is extremely limited in physical capabilities. But when they are on the mission field, she has her own ministry. She has her own way of affecting and influencing people for the kingdom of God. And so she brings glory to the Lord in her own unique way, touching people that you and I could never touch. So we are supposed to have a cause that removes the things that are standing in the path of the people of God moving forward in a defiant manner. That was the real thing about Goliath. It wasn't his size. It wasn't his taunts. He was defying the armies of the living God. And David said, look, this problem has hindered us long enough. I'll step up and I will do something about it. I'm telling you, you have a cause. James here describes that as a believer, that we have a heart for people who are fatherless and they're husbandless. You think about all of the battles that took place in ancient history. There were people who were injured in battle. There were people who were killed in battle. There were people who were victorious in battle. But many times society failed to look out after those who had paid the ultimate price. And their wives suffered. Their children suffered. And James, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, that's not the way it works in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is about family. The kingdom of God says, you know what? If the family's designated provider has been taken out of the picture, then we're going to do what we can to step up and make sure that they are taken care of. Do you realize that in the early church, the book of Acts, that it was the widows that ministry began to explode during the time of exponential growth in the church? It grew so much that their systems were breaking down. And so God instructed them, hey, you need some deacons. You need some people who would serve. There needs to be people in every church that have a heart for ministering to the orphans and the widows in their trouble. And the second thing is, if we're in right relationship with God, we're not going to need someone else to be telling us to correct our lifestyle. When we're in relationship with Jesus, the Holy Spirit is going to be ministering in us on a regular basis and saying, this is an area that I think needs to be discarded to make room for better behavior, holy behavior, behavior that is going to glorify God, going to please God, but it's also going to touch and impact others. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his own tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Don't be deceived in your own heart, but instead let your heart be reflected in the words that you say. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
not hidden.